Okay, basically, I started recording everybody, so we're about to start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, welcome, folks, to this fifth official Burnout Chat for Saturday, March 1st, 2008. And this time, this chat was convened because there were many requests, and specifically for me, I wanted to talk about some recent news from HumanWare about transplants and inability, unavailability of some parts, and some like a speculation of future upgrades, and the fact that it is the last version of Keysoft for classic units, Keysoft 7.5. So, because I decided to hold a chat, and for the last four chats that I conducted last year, there were many positive feedbacks and many people joined us. Especially the one where there was a human representation. So welcome everybody to the official, quote official, end quote, US fifth Burnout Chat. The chat is begun as of 11, I believe 11:10 a.m. Pacific. 12:10 noon, 11:10 p.m. Central, 2:10 p.m. Eastern, and other time zones. So welcome, Marty. The chat window is now open.
All right. So like on the other chats, because I've listened to some of them. Do you want us to like introduce ourselves or something? Is this still working, right?
Yes. Why don't you introduce yourselves first, because I'm talking on the phone at the moment.
Okay, I'll start. I'm Nick Cucciarola from Minnesota, and I'm in 10th grade and use a Burnout Empower QWERTY keyboard. Actually, I have two right now because my Empower just came back yesterday from being repaired, but yeah, that's all I got to say on that subject.
Suppose I'll go next. I'm Corey Cadlick, and I won't be around this whole time, I'm sure, because it's my birthday dinner. So to that point, I'm Corey Cadlick, and I am in the 12th grade, and I use a Burnout Empower with the regular Braille keyboard, which I like. I don't use it as much as I should, but I like it.
Yeah, I found that the QWERTY keyboard is a lot easier for doing math and stuff on. That's just what I found, because on the Braille keyboard, because I had to have the Braille keyboard for about 3 weeks, but on the Braille keyboard, I constantly had to switch back from computer Braille to grade 2 Braille in math files, because I had to put down equations, and then I had to put down sentences, and then when I had to write, I didn't want to have to write in computer Braille, so I just changed it back to grade 2 Braille, whereas on the QWERTY, I could just do everything in one file without having to change anything.
You know what, I agree with you, because I mean, my unit, when I went for a unit, I didn't really think about it, and at the point I just needed a Braille display, and I just went for that unit, and I should have thought about it closely before I went and bought it. Well, not me, the town should have thought about it before they went out and got it. But overall, it's a good unit, but you're right. You have to translate, and it's difficult. But I do like the unit. It's still a little big. I mean, a Palm Pilot, to be honest, a Palm Pilot to me is a smaller unit, like a Braille Plus. I have a Braille Plus, and I happen to like that too, just because of its size. But otherwise, I like the Braille Note besides its size. But otherwise, it's cool.
I've experienced that the Braille keyboard is actually smaller than the QWERTY keyboard, because I have a pocket in my backpack for my Braille note, and the Braille keyboard fits in there right away, and the QWERTY keyboard, it could take 10 minutes just to put in there because it's so fat.
Are you guys talking about Key Maestro?
What?
We're talking about the different keyboards, the different, what the advantage and the disadvantages of the Braille note and its keyboard.
My thought is depends on the user's preference. For me, I prefer both approaches. I can type easily with the Braille keyboard because I was used to reading Braille. And the thing that I type is displayed automatically on the display. But I also prefer the, in addition to the efficiency of the Braille keyboard, I also prefer the speed of the QWERTY keyboard because I tend to also use my computers for some uses such as filling out financial aid forms and writing some complex documents like the PB Wiki page, which I'm going to mention in a moment. So my opinion would be that it probably depends on the user. In my case, I prefer both approaches.
Anybody else got a say on this one?
This is Nimmer Jabber. I'm going to also say that it depends on on the user, on the speed of the user. They're both the same thing, both same devices. So it ultimately comes down whether you can type faster using Braille or using the keyboard.
Like I said, I regret it. I mean, I don't mind Braille, but I regret not getting a QWERTY because I'm just faster at typing. I'm on my computer way more than my Braille note.
I really prefer the Braille keyboard, but you guys were talking about math a little while ago, and UEB really handles it extremely well. You don't have to switch grades or anything as long as you're writing the UEB code all the time. And UEB still has almost all of the grade 2 contractions. The main differences are the punctuation and then all the new symbols. So as soon as you learn those, like I've got UEB enabled, and I use that for everything except for text documents, where I have computer Braille, obviously, because it's text. But UEB works really well. I'm able to do almost anything in math. Well, everything I've had to do so far, I don't know how it'll be in the future, but all the symbols, all that stuff, so.
Yeah, Vicki Collins. I'll introduce myself a little bit here. I keep forgetting about this control key. You've got to hold it down. That's why I'm disappearing once in a while, I think. Anyway, I am not in high school. I've been out quite some time. Customer service rep for the Internet Revenue Service. Don't use the Braille note a lot at work. They actually give me a classic voice note classic with a 6.11 to use, but I usually leave it at home for an alarm clock and things like that and take it when there's something that I may need to write that involves tax information, that kind of thing. Otherwise, I do have a Braille note Empower and a PK. I have the BT keyboards on, well, obviously on the PK, on the Empower as well. I have no regrets with that. I can type as fast as I need to. Any documents I save, they'll always save in the .doc format, so they'll translate with the PC and everything without a problem. I don't save anything. I may type in keyword, but I won't save anything. I won't save anything there.
Hi, MS. Welcome to the list in the chat. It seems there is some popping noise that occurs about every 2.5 seconds from Vicky then. Well, although I think people heard your message.
Yeah, do you know how to get rid of it? Or maybe it's where I have my hand on something. I have no clue.
Yeah, it seems to me that that time there was no popping noise. So whatever you did, it fixed it.
Yeah, it just has to do with the internet and the how quick this thing's going and how fast your internet is versus everybody else's.
The popping noise is gone, Vicky. Okay, so I think the advent of Bluetooth 1.1, I think Bruno has Bluetooth 1.1, not 1.2 though. I think the Bluetooth keyboard would be good for like Braille keyboard users, especially when typing some things. I do wish that they Bruno support KeyMaestro. KeyMaestro is I don't know whether Nimer or Alex heard about it. I think Nimer did. It's a Bluetooth Braille keyboard from Humanware that is supposedly supports some Maestro and Tracker. And I wish it would also support Braille, especially QT users and PK users, so they can type it using conventional Braille keyboard.
I have heard of it and I have used it. It would make things a lot easier if they did support.
Are you talking about the one for the computer? Because they do make a Braille keyboard that hooks up to the computer that just came out.
I'm talking about a different one. It is essentially a Braille keyboard. I believe it's also for computers as well. But it is the Keymaestro is mostly used by for entering Braille using Maestro, which has a telephone keypad. If you go to humor.com, you'll be able to find out more about it. The nice thing about that is that it has a conventional Braille keyboard plus a cursor cross, and it has a function keys F1 and F2 on the left side, and F3 and F4 on the right side, which will be useful for handy information. If you heard of PacMate BNS before, that would be the exact replica of it.
I've heard of a PacMate before, but I've seen a PacMate once, but I don't really know what they look like or anything like that.
Nick, oh, you were some kind of a low end there.
I'm some kind of a what?
Low end, in other words, you're a bit faint. Oh, who just left?
I don't know.
Corey did.
Okay, Corey's gone. Alright. I guess, I don't know about that. Anyway. Okay, any other things to throw out? Well, I have one. Maybe there were some concerns. Maybe the good thing that, whoever put out this, that wonderful SMA coverage plan, like an amnesty program for classic users. And I think that comes out because it is the last version of Keysoft 7.5, but I think there are more reasons why they're doing this.
What would be those reasons for doing it?
I'm thinking that my logic here is that since Keysoft 7.5 is the last version of a classic, in other words, the Bronos with parallel port, this usually means that there is a huge software upgrade that's coming up. That's for the MPOW and the PK. And I think because it is because Classic can handle up to 4.2, I think HumorWare is preparing for us to move to the different operating system. And the fact that Classic cannot support it means that at least they want to try their best and give Classic users the up-to-date upgrade. And low price.
I think eventually they're going to have to do a hardware upgrade if they intend to compete with other devices in order to add more memory, increase the processor speed. If they do upgrade their software, which I also think they're going to do, move up to another operating system, eventually their hardware is going to need to be able to support it, so eventually they're going to need to have another hardware upgrade. That's another reason I think they came out with that program for the classics.
I was actually forgot that control key again. I was going to say the same thing about the hardware upgrade, and now we're already getting with the wireless cards being hard to find, compact flash cards maybe soon behind that and being hard to find, and so plus everything just seems to be going more and more portable these days, so I think you're right, at some point, probably before too awfully long, we'll be looking at it.
I would like to see a wireless upgrade. That way we don't need to use wireless cards where it's actually built in. There's a couple of things I'd actually like to see, but wireless being one of them.
I think one of the things I should really do, because a lot of people say that the MPOWER is really great because of all it can do, but it's kind of big. I really don't see why they can't, the PK motherboard, even though a German company makes it right now, but why HumanWare couldn't replicate it and add more to it, I mean, even make it a little bit bigger, but put an SD card slot in there, USB host as well as client. You don't need PCM CIA and the built-in modem and stuff, but just the key features of the MPOWER, including a much faster 614 megahertz processor, you know, this new flash they're coming out with, they have 32 and 64 gigabyte USB flash drives, so there wouldn't really be, you know, it'd be extremely cheap to put a 2 or 4 gig flash disk in there, as well as more RAM. What can CE6 support? I think it's up to, I don't know, it's really high, especially for a personal device, but I think they should basically import the features of the MPOWER with increased speed and memory into a PK shell, sort of the best of both worlds.
Oh, what is this thing doing? Well, I think I'm here now. Anyway, can someone say something though that HumanWare wouldn't let the German company wouldn't let HumanWare use that C3 key? So it may be a matter of whom we're having to work with this company, and so they, even if they would like to import some of these things over, they may, the company may or may not be allowing it, and that may be where part of the problem is. I mean, I don't know that, obviously, but it's probably more involved than what we would like for it to be.
I don't know. In terms of Shell, I think what human, I think what can be done is to, well, move the record button, well, keep the record button, but to move the microphone probably to either side, probably to the left, or top left or top right of the unit, and then at the place put an SD slot in there, maybe at least a micro SD slot, which is somewhat popular with cell phones these days. I have Samsung Blackjack with 1 gigabyte micro SD card, and I also have an SD to micro SD to regular SD adapter, and micro SD also works with modem power. So I think microphone can be moved up to the side or top left or top right side of the unit, just like M powers, and then in that place put a micro SD slot just for the increased memory. The CE6 supports up to 2 gigabytes of virtual memory. If we have a RAM, if we have RAM that is at least 128 megabytes, and the flash that is at least 2 gigabytes in size, I think M power or future generation of that will be able to handle it more easily. Because if CE6 is released, then the key subsystem disk will be gone, replaced by the read-only folders of flash disk, and the general folder will be there, I think, and the system disk will be then used for RAM. In other words, the RAM disk will be gone, so the RAM itself can be used solely as for running programs. And we will have a true 64 megabytes of RAM and 128 megabytes of flash, and since the 2 gigabytes of virtual memory is virtual, in other words, does not really exist, I think Rhino M Power can handle it. If CE6 supports using virtual memory from other storage devices, such as a 16 gigabyte or up to 32 gigabyte compact flash, then it will indeed boost the performance of the unit. But I'm sure that M Power will support CE6 for PK. I don't know. I think it's time for a PK upgrade rather than M Power at the moment. M Power, I think there might be an upgrade, I think in 2010, I don't know. But since PK was released in the end of 2004, I think it's time for PK upgrade instead.
Joseph, I've just come back here. This is Orhan. Just had something to eat and stuff. Yeah, saying that about your 2 gigabytes of virtual memory is going to be nice. If we replace the key system disk and we use that as a true RAM, and that's going to be nice as well. Yeah, if we have 64 megabytes of true RAM, then it's actually going to be more good, because, you know, the brand doesn't efficiently allow to use RAM. You know, it just can't keep it, and if, like, you know, the virtual memory problems are fixed, like, you know, if I just open my browser up here and look at the virtual memory when there's nothing running, and I'm just trying to... And I just do an options menu. Virtual memory free 42%, and physical memory free is about 75%. And I'm not doing anything here. I just turned this machine on. So yeah. And I don't know about the PK one. Just, I think they both need to be upgraded. I mean, the PK in terms of, yeah, it might, hardware might need to be upgraded, but 2010 is really late for, like, a CE upgrade to the M-Power. I mean, you know, who knows what will be released by then? CE7, I don't know exact what year release CE7 in, but, you know, or whatever it's going to be called then. But, you know, I think either this year or in the early stages of next year, it's a must.
Think so. 2010. I was thinking about the retirement of M Power. I think there will be another outer upgrade before that. Even as early as probably 2009, but I don't know. So I think the priority will be the M-Power, and then the next will be PK upgrade. If they can get the latest shell, and like somewhat like a larger shell, like Alex said, and I think it has been about closely about three, a little bit. No, it's about 3 years since PK's release, so I think PK's lifespan is about to end in like 20. I think next year, the PK's lifespan might terminate. And the Empire was released shortly after that, so I think around 2010, there might be some announcement that they will retire Empire for a new unit, new shell, I think. And then I don't know, because as you noticed, and historically, whenever we upgrade to new CE version, there was a new generation of hardware that was released. For example, if we had PK that was released with CE 4.2, and then we had classic upgrade, and then M-Power with a brand new shell that was released to support a CE 4.2. I think with release of CE 6.0 shortly, I think there might be another version of the hardware that is capable of running CE6 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, they really need to, maybe you're right, but the 2010 M-Power do away with. They really need to sort out the hardware, because the hardware's kind of getting a bit old now, and especially with USB 3.0 and stuff like this, and new hard flash drive. I mean, you can find a 16 gig hard drive. I mean, I'm going on to competition here, but look at the icon. I mean, that's running a 30 gig hard drive. I mean, you know, in terms of memory and stuff, in terms of, like, supporting CE6, you know, we definitely need some new hardware changes, like, you know, and we probably could support it with this hardware now, but, like, you know, to be effective and be efficient, we do need some new hardware in the brown note.
There. I'm using an icon here. Sorry, I wasn't sure if I was being heard or not. However, I think the icon doesn't have as many capabilities as Brown Note. For instance, Brown Note can use many more storage devices, whereas the only thing the icon can do right now is do a micro SD card, even with its 30 gig hard drive. Now, the icon does run on Linux, which opens it up to more programs, and it does have an internal wireless card, and I think that's where the Brown Note needs to be expanded. Give it an internal wireless card, open it up a little bit, to run more programs on it. But again, the icon has no braille display, doesn't have as many means of media, storage media, can't do as much. So I don't think the icon is, right now, at this stage, much competition. Not that it can't be in the future, but if Humanware decides that they're going to build this new shell, I think they ought to increase the memory and put in a internal wireless card, upgrade their USB and Bluetooth, Bluetooth 1.2, USB 3.0, once that comes out, and I think they don't have to worry as much.
And the more services for Bluetooth, such as OBEX and headset and transfer capabilities with infrared, which came up on the previous chats as well. Which also leads me to the next thing, which is the DeafLink communicator. I just read a description yesterday, and it seems that it's using SMS service, a simple messaging service, to send messages between a QWERTY keyboard cell phone like Blackjack and T-Mobile Dash and the Braille Note. So I think that might open the way for so-called quote key chat, end quote, and a chat program that supports some text chat as well as, just for some suggestion, voice chat.
I'd like to see that too. Eventually, I think there should be a way to do file sharing, hook up to a, let's say, home network. I'm not sure if that option exists now, but I don't think so. I want to see the Braille Note being able to hook up to a home network later on, possibly a domain. being able to do networking, file transfer, stuff like that, because if the Braille note is being marketed to be a note taker for blind individuals to use in a workplace setting, even now people are using more and more home networks. I know here I have one set up. I think the Braille note should be able to access that, and computers also should be able to see the Braille notes without too much problem.
Can I just come back to the point about the Braille display? I mean, yeah. I mean, like, you know, you have a valid point about saying that, you know, the icon is not really a thingy, valid, you know, competition yet, because yeah. But like, you know, if the Braille's memory was increased, I mean, if it took advantage of CE6 this year, yeah. I mean, we're going to be, like, ahead of... And we took advantage of it. I mean, we took advantage of it. And we're going to be ahead of any other note-taker. And I assume Joseph has proudly stated this, but we're going to be even ahead of Pacmate Omni, because Pacmate Omni is running CE Windows Mobile 6, which is basically CE 5.2. I was going to say that, I think even now we could have an M-Power hardware... change, because the M-Power was launched in 2005, right? End of 2005, June, July-ish. And now it's March 2008. So that's been 3 years, so yeah. And, I mean... Yeah, I mean... That would be kind of cool. I don't know a consensus of you guys. I mean, like, what do you guys think of the, like, new... Well, not new, but like the Braille displays in the M-Power, I kind of don't think they're as robust as like the Tiemann ones. I mean, cause, like, you know, there's, you know, because of the extended service contract, I don't find it to be as like sturdy. I mean, I think I got mine jammed once. And Nick, regarding your other thing about the home networking, yeah, that would be kind of interesting. I mean, I know you can browse like a network and copy files off a network, but I don't think it's like more of a file sharing. I can't say I'm the most network techie in the world, but, you know, you can browse a network, like a drive, and a network drive, but, like, you know, yeah, a domain and stuff like that. That'd be kind of really cool.
Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. And also another thing, I think Keysoft should, when the next version comes out, I think they should make it so that Keysoft can multitask between, like, for example, Keymail and Keyword. So, like, when you're in a Keyword file and typing, it'll bring up a window or something. It'll like stay on the web and look for see what email you have, and then when you get an email, it'll like beep or something and say, do you want to read this email or something, and then it'll take you basically to Keymail and without ruining your file or whatever you're doing, and so you can do that without having to do, you know, 500 keyboard commands, if you know what I mean.
The icon right now has that same problem where you can't actually keep it in the email program and have it check for email. With Braille Note, though, I actually like it the way it is, because I want to be able to have the choice whether I want to receive my emails now or I want to get my emails later. And if I had the email program open, because I was going back and through an email, I would find it, especially because, you know, some people are subscribed to many different lists, they got many different emails, I would find it time consuming if Braille Note kept coming up with a message asking me if I would want to check my email now or later, and kept beeping at me and kept going back and forth to the email program. You know, if I want to go to it, I can go to it with a keystroke. If I don't want to go to it, then I don't have to.
Well, what could be done? I think there can be a setting created under Receive Options under keyboard Keymail setup, where it'll tell you either to check, either to enable scheduling, that's what it's called, on or off. If it's on, you can specify how long the Keymail should wait before receiving new messages. I think it can set from 5 minutes to an hour, but something else. If it's off, it can go the traditional way of selecting it. If it say yes, then I think it'll keep checking for emails and it'll notify using like Keymail: new messages arrive, etc. Or play a sound and say how many messages arrived in voice or something rather. And if you can, you can. I think that can, I think even though one uses an automated email receipt, one can still go to connect to send and receive email and choose a different account, and then one can go from there. I think that can be a toggle setting under receive options under the email setting. And also for dividing the keys of that .exe to several chunks, I think that can be done if we can implement multi-thread. In other words, running several several sections of programs at once. We can say we can have a IE open, which uses its own dedicated executable, and then open a media file using KSW media, read a book using keybook thread, and receive email using keymail thread. I think that can be done. Is a subject to Jonathan Sharp's decision, though.
Another thing I'd like to see is streamline the menus a little bit more. For instance, on the main menu, I want to see an internet menu. In this internet menu, I want to see my internet, my sort of the way the icon does it, for instance. I want to see my web browser, my email, my settings to be able to set up networking stuff, and connect to stuff like that. Then I also, you know, in my utilities menu, I want to see some form of file explorer, so I can just browse the file. I mean, that already exists. I'm just mainly talking about taking the word processor planner, all that, moving it over to, let's say, a tools menu or a, you know, something like that. Make it more streamlined a little bit. Not that it's a problem now. Just makes it more streamlined.
So kind of like how desktop on a computer is set up, or one of those menu, like the start menu on a computer, instead of having everything in the main menu, you'd have like a tools menu, a internet / email menu, and a media menu, and all that good stuff. And then under each menu would be the different things so that they wouldn't have to put it all in the main menu, if you know what I mean.
In terms of the the planner address list and those and word processor, it can be grouped into, I think what Microsoft is using now is called Office Mobile, which is a mobile version of Office that includes Word and includes Word Mobile, Excel Mobile, which can be described as Database Manager, and PowerPoint Mobile. And we can include like a management menu on where we might have planner address list in there, and then along with that thing we can have a key sync as well underneath that menu as well, so because it is dedicated to synchronizing planner and address list. Here's what I'm thinking. The main menu, my guess is that if you choose an item, it will tell Keysoft to open a specific thread. So I think those threads can be grouped into a subroutine where we can tell we can tell internet, and then it'll open internet subroutine that has many threads like opening a web browser, sending and receiving email, etc. But the thing that I really desperately like to see is ability to have directory option open while using other programs, because that will allow us to open another file, play another media file, and open another web page, etc. So like emulating File Explorer / Windows Explorer on the Burnout.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to use File Explorer to actually open up files, and that shouldn't necessarily be in the utilities menu. That should be where, let's say, the word processor is. We are also talking about Office. One thing I'd like to see is, because Access is mainly like the database manager, I want to see the features of Excel. You know, I know that you can't put all of them in there, but a lot of the features of Excel, for instance, graphs, a lot of the calculation options, stuff like that. I also want to see some form of PowerPoint presentation, you know, some form of presentation program to where you can set up presentations, save them as a .ppt file, transfer them over to a computer, open them up. For instance, you're doing a project for school, you can make a slideshow for work or whatever. I think that wouldn't be too hard to do.
Yeah, Nymar, I exactly agree with you there. I definitely need a PowerPoint application. I mean, I can't have my laptop in every lesson in school. And, you know, a majority of the teachers do PowerPoint presentations, so, you know, I could just, you know, if I could just get my brown, if I could just get them to access the network and whatever, if I can get my brown hooked up to my network, if I can get permission from school, then I can just browse the network drive, look for a PPT presentation, open it up on the brown note, make sense of it on the brown display, and, you know, I mean, like, you know, it just doesn't, and then there's a PowerPoint presentation, and people are like, oh, my teacher, like, my assistants are like, oh, you don't, you can't, because I can't have my laptop in every lesson. I mean, like, you know, that's why I have a brown note for. I mean, if I really wanted, I could have a laptop, but, like, you know, that's why I have my brown note for the sake of portability. I mean, I'm a student, I'm not an executive, you know, I'm a student, and even regarding the topic of students, you know, maybe we can do this in a bit of,
Sorry if I cut you off there, but, a lot of the, even, you know, somebody at HumanWare is probably going to argue that, PowerPoints are, a lot of it is graphics. I think what you can do is you can just tell the Braille Note to ignore the graphics, because, I mean, a few people might want to input graphics into their PowerPoints. But mainly for us blind individuals, at least for me, when I make a PowerPoint, it's mainly to convey information. When I convey information, you know, teachers want it as a slideshow, or they show me a slideshow. So I think there should be a way for Braille Notes to interpret the graphs, but at the same time, ignore the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't need the graphics, we're blind. I mean, at least for me, I'm totally blind. And obviously, you can't have graphics on a Braille display. What I was saying was that, maybe a bit later in the chat we could talk about multilingual, because that's key for me, but a bit later, not now.
Okay, let's have some comments from those who didn't make it for the last 10 minutes, like Alex and Vicky, shall we? And this is for the benefit of the other folks here.
Well, as far as PowerPoint, I think they should also include this in the word processor. You know, why can't you describe things? You know, you have a menu. You browse for a picture file, you know, JPEG, GIF, whatever. And then as long as, you know, if you have a sighted person to tell you what pictures you need, you put them on there, renamed as things you'll know what they are, you include them. And you can have text effects all described, you know, like you block off some text, and then you go into some sort of effects menu, and you select, I don't know what they do, change color or flash or fade in, however PowerPoints do all that fancy visual stuff. And as I said, the same idea in the word processor, you know, to be able to change font colors, to change font sizes, to include pictures or links, things like that. If they could just do that, it doesn't seem all that hard, and then behind, you know, we would see you know, anywhere on the cursor, you could query any character under the cursor. You could query, you know, what is this font size? What's the color? What's whatever? And then on the display, you would just see that. But behind the scenes, it's just talking to the actual MS Word application and able to do all that stuff. Because right now, if you open anything like that up, it says the data is invalid. It can't translate. So the other thing, I'm not sure if it's been mentioned, but PDF would be really good, and as of CE5, PDF viewing is supported, so that wouldn't be all that hard either.
Guys, this is very off topic, but like, I'm trying to call a friend of mine called Derek Roberts on Skype. I'm trying to relay. How could I best relay the chat to him? It'd be kind of complicated, but.
What I'm gonna do is say to him, okay, you can speak now, and then put the microphone by the speaker so we can hear him. So the what he says can be heard over the microphone. That can be done. Yes, CE5 does support the Pocket Word or Word Mobile now supports, I've heard, supports tables, creating tables, and then using graphics. So I think that can easily be implemented.
For me, PDFs are another important thing, as was mentioned, because you know, a lot of places, the only document type they use to PDFs, and you know, sometimes you can translate them, they always translate PDFs, but on a brow note, it's a little bit harder. So I think there should be an application that will display PDFs, such as maybe KeyPDF or something like that.
A PDF would be good, of course, but I guess even things like PowerPoint and the room with the PackMate, that's one of their big strong selling points right now with the Omni, and so that's becoming more and more of students, workplaces, people are using it a whole lot nowadays. I guess the thing is, though, we obviously want to go to Windows Mobile 6 and things of that nature. It's just so hard to know because we're not quite sure where the burnout is going, or, and you know, with all the layoffs over there in New Zealand and talking about maybe outsourcing some things, at least temporarily, things are, well, kind of up in the air. Although I've got a little bit more interested in, you know, they were committed to the Braille notes, so it's a lot of things that one we would maybe want or need. It's just a matter of what's going to happen, the priorities with it, or are we looking at upgrading the M-Power and PK, or are we looking at maybe getting just a whole new machine that would be maybe kind of in the midst of the size between the M-Power and PK and going that route. Just a lot of things to consider, and you just don't know what direction HumanWare is going to take exactly.
By the way, you're popping is back, Vicky, but I think what actually, instead of a PDF application, I think they should just incorporate it into Microsoft Word and add more file types into Microsoft Word. Not Microsoft Word, sorry, Keyword.
Hang on, Derek's going to say something. Yeah, say now. You know, they're thinking of actually including more thingies in PowerPoint, so PowerPoint support for like presentations and like, you know, maybe extending the capability of files for Keyword. What do you think about that?
Well, how would the Braille note be able to run like the pictures and slideshow and stuff?
Oh yeah, we said that, you know, we'd have to ignore the graphics.
Yeah.
But do you think maybe expanding the file of expanding the associated files with Keyword?
That'd be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna actually talk to the chat about we need a zipper. We need a zipper and unzipper. We really do.
Oh, the zip program? Like the archive files program. That was mentioned several times on previous chats, though. There was nothing beyond the expectations of what it might do. However, I was pondering about the .zip possibilities. What they can do is they can fool file manager or directory, or in this case, I'll first call it File Explorer, to use zip as a folder, inside a folder. So what can be done might be, when the zip file is encountered, one can press enter, and it'll be presented with list of files and folders in this archive, and then one can copy it and move it or somewhere else, thereby unzipping it. And then what can be done is we can, well, create like a zip file option on the file manager, so we can mark files and add it to the zip file that can be renamed and so forth like that. And if we were to use file directory as a separate application, then what might be done in this case, we're pressing like a backspace Z for zip, might ask for like a file name, etc. And then one can like mark files and press backspace with Z, and then put that file in the archive. That's my only spec. That's my thinking here. Anyone like Alex, Vicky, or Nymer? Anyone else?
Oh, that was very strange. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting.
Also the Braille since I think it has had a zip utility for like several years, I think it's been.
Yeah, since 2003.
Yeah, so we're really behind that.
But, yeah.
Along with a zipping application, I think maybe there should be some form of password protection. My reasoning for that is not that there's going to be anybody else using it, but sometimes, I know this is back when you're at maybe a workplace or something like that, but you're trying to protect a sensitive document, along with zipping, there should be some form of encryption. I'm not even sure if that capability exists in Windows CE, but I would think it should.
Yeah, but even, password for the whole unit, because, like, you know, I mean, who knows, it could get into someone's house, and who knows, I mean, I'm a student, but, like, for a professional, I mean, they could have their credit card number stored in that. I mean, may this not happen to anyone, but, you know, I mean, the Pac-Mate has it, you know, you can encrypt your unit, you can actually lock a unit. I mean, like, why can't we have this? I mean, it shouldn't be a big feature. I mean, you know, I mean, who knows, I mean, you could have some really, really personal information in your brow note. I mean, yeah, I do agree with Nightmare about, zipping, no, sorry, password encryption of documents, because I don't know if that is available in Windows CE, though, myself as well.
I think you're talking about encrypting the card. Basically, what it really does is that when you have an SD card or a compact flash or even a USB drive, if you have sensitive information, you can put it there, and you can put a thing where the only one that will be able to read that will be you. In other words, the thing will be locked onto a unit so no other Braille notes or even the computers can read that card once it is protected on one of the Braille notes. And the only thing that can read that card will be the Braille note that initially placed the encryption key. I think it's better than using the locking the whole unit. I think that can be easily done. You can use password field, I think. That can be set from, I think, options menu. No, not options, but under utilities/miscellaneous, I think.
I don't like that idea because if something happens to your Braille note, you have this locked up USB drive or something that you can't open. You need to have a way of decrypting it, and that's why I think maybe a lock for the whole unit or a lock for folders, so you have one folder that is passworded, so if you have sensitive documents, you put it on that, or maybe a little less secure encryption method for USB drives that anybody else could open up, but that still required a password because, again, if you just encrypted it with your machine, you can't open it up with any of the other machines. Had you send your machine back or got stolen or something happened to it, you kind of lost your information there.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Oh, Derek, can you just turn on your speakers? Can you just turn on your speakers? We're getting really relay. We're just getting really bad echo. Okay, that's better now. Can you hear it? Yeah, okay. Continue.
I was also thinking possibly to go along with the zip utility. I think things like WinZip and other stuff have, like, very, very strong encryption and methods and stuff. Could that be combined with that?
Yeah, I mean, zip could not be the only choice, maybe RAR or something. I mean, but zip is the main one. At least if we have some zip and some form of encryption. At least in KeySoftware. I mean, at least if we have it somehow. This can be really, really cool because we really need this. But yeah, I kind of agree with Nightmare. I mean, just think you have to unlock that. But I think on the Pac-Mate, you can actually unlock that stick. But even locking the whole unit, I mean, even that might be good because just in case it gets stolen. I mean, these are all good suggestions in my opinion. I mean, Joseph really had a good suggestion about locking the hard drive. I said Nightmare about, you know, the locking of the unit or slash or a folder. I think these are all good things. I think we could maybe have all of them. Maybe, I don't know.
First, I have a couple things here, and then I'm gonna let some other people talk for a while. Is Derek not able to join us without being on Skype because he's faint coming in? But another thing is, if you're talking about password protecting the whole unit and it gets stolen, you can do that with computers, but anybody smart enough can reset that you know, the battery in a computer or whatever, and then the password just comes off. So I'm thinking that there should be a way to unlock the password when the whole unit's been locked. So I don't think that's really secure for theft. I think if you're really worried about somebody stealing your unit, you have to take more, you know, practical measures.
I'm not worried. Derek, you can talk when I'm talking, just as a note. The reason why Derek can't join is because he can't install talking communities. Well, he doesn't, because, like, of some spyware and stuff, I think he's got something wrong, but... you can talk when I'm talking, Derek. That's it. When I stop talking, you can't really talk. Basically, yeah, but I don't care, to be honest with you. I mean, for my personal... But, like, I'm just saying from other people's viewpoint, you know, that... I mean, there are people that, you know, might be using the browser, and they might be in a workplace, or they might be in a busy place, and, you know, they really want... I mean, it will be quite unlikely for it to be stolen. I mean, but, you know... But some form of locking and some form of encryption would be really cool.
Even if it was just the data state, then, because if... You know, no one wants their journal to be stolen, but if, say, a hard reset would just restore it back to factory defaults, at least if it did get stolen, the person's data wouldn't get stolen in the process.
Yeah, the lock feature, I don't think is really the best feature because, well, yeah, it would be very good for locking email accounts because I've had other people's Braille notes in the past and accidentally taken emails off of their account, and so I think locking your email account would be a very good thing to have, and maybe locking up your all your important information files and your private stuff, but not your whole unit, because if you have to send it in and somehow it gets sent to someone else and they have to use it, then they don't know your password, so they basically can't use your unit. And yeah, so locking up just like certain folders and files and stuff like that would be pretty cool, but not the entire unit.
I'm almost certain, though, that if HumanWare decided that they were going to implement a feature to lock the whole unit, they'd come up with a backdoor to allow them to unlock it. Because, like I said, no password is completely secure. I mean, you can't rely on that to be a theft mechanism.
Here's what I propose, and Derek, you can talk as well. One, unlocking the unit for other people, that you actually have to put it into password secure mode or something like that. Two, I agree with Naima, they'll probably have a backdoor of unlocking it. What do you think, Derek? Uh-huh.
Sorry, I kind of missed the...
I said, like, they said that, you know, if you were going to unlock the unit, like, HumanWare, if you send it to repair, or if you send someone to be fixed or something, then they'd have to know your password. But I propose, one, you actually have to put it into lock mode or something like that, and two, you know, HumanWare might have a back way, HW might have a way of getting at the unit.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can just, like, know how to get there.
Yeah.
I gotta hack into your Braille note.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe you were saying something like where on some computers you'd have like an account you would log into where you'd put your username and your password, but you can log into multiple accounts. That the Braille note, yeah, that would be a very good thing. So like if you're, like, for example, you sent your Braille note in, it got fixed, came back and you didn't really pay attention and it got sent to someone else, well, they can log in, they can create their own, or they can just use it as like a guest, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's kind of like, you know, some of you might have, those of you who go to school and have a computer at school, a login username for at school, something like that would be a real good thing for the Braille note to have on it, so that you don't accidentally lose your stuff or someone doesn't accidentally take it. So
actually,
go on, say it.
If you look at in the Keysoft system disk, they already use the Windows CE does have a profile. it does have a guest profile besides all your temporary files and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We could have two default accounts, and then a number of created accounts. So the default accounts would be the Humware account, which would probably have full privileges to the Braille Note. I don't know if you could limit the Braille Note in any way, but... And then a guest account or a temporary account where they could go in, log into that account, get into that account. I don't know if it's all going to be possible, but, you know, log into that account, go in, create their own account, and then, you know, you can have your own user-defined accounts. I don't know. Or you could just have a guest account as well, so, like, you know, people got your Braille Note, you don't want them deleting anything, let's say, you could restrict them from deleting and stuff like that. You know, that would be kind of cool, because, like, then at least people could use your Braille Note, you know, if you needed them to use it or something.
It is not possible. There are two reasons why. One, CE is designed as a single-user operating system. It's just like Windows, Windows NT can create new user accounts, CE does not support it. And second, if the new accounts are created on the Profiles menu, it will be gone after the hard reset or restore after reburning the image. So it's not a pretty good idea for it. And CE is designed, another note for those who are wondering about it, CE is not a fully fledged Windows. It is just a Windows version for mobile devices. And mobile devices does not usually support user accounts. It is just a one user. When you turn on, you are the owner. When you turn it off, you're done. And when someone uses it, then one can access yours. But one thing that can be done is to store essential secretive notes, secretive like bank accounts or any other things, on a storage card or any other devices that no one will be able to get it. This, which is the method that I use to store everything except my school notes on my... I usually put school notes on my general folder, and I put other things on storage devices in order to prevent a theft and in order to use like consistency, redundancy. Since the profiles are created on the key subsystem disk, once the settings are done and if you perform service reset or hard reset, it'll be gone. Unless if there's a way to have the profiles folder copied over to flash disk. Even though the folder is copied to flash disk, if it is protected, you cannot really edit it.
As far as what you were saying, that sort of goes back to being able to have like one folder or one directory password protected. Even if we can't zip it to protect it, if we could just password protect one part or even one, if we could create different, what are they called? Partitions on the flash disk, that'd be extremely helpful. It'd be like another level of directory. You know, like instead of just flash disk or Keysoft system disk, you might have school and work and protected information, and to enter the protected drive or partition, you'd have to enter a password that you set, and then that's where you keep all your important stuff so that nobody else could get to it. And since BrailleNote can't run any third-party applications, no one could run any brute force password crackers or any other method of cracking passwords on it, because the BrailleNote wouldn't accept the executable file in the first place, so it'd be quite secure. And then you don't run the risk of you losing your backup or your storage media and having someone else find it, or it breaks and you can't recover it, things like that.
Again, about the only thing you're saying is folders, because that's really what it is. I mean, I don't know that you can do partitions on Windows CE either. Even if you could, it would be the same as having folders. All you're doing is just making more of a directory, you know, more directories for you to press enter on. I think if you could password protect folders, you have exactly what you're talking about, but I don't think that you can actually partition the entire drive.
Yeah, I don't think you can either. I was going to say, yeah, that's the benefit of the closed nature, but seriously, I mean, I don't think Windows CE can do it. I have to ask Joseph that.
I don't think Windows CE can access multiple partitions on drive either. At least, you can't on like Girl Note.
Yeah, and yeah, it would be really similar to protecting folders. So yeah, I think maybe the best option, maybe the conclusion we have to come to, is we can protect individual folders rather than locking a whole unit, because there are disadvantages to locking a whole unit, as we have stated. But yeah,
I think the best solution would be introducing the marking folders thingy to mark folders. What they can just do is copy the subroutine that was on the files to apply to folders and subdirectories as well. So we can do things like marking folders, that were not we can like have folder 1, folder 2, folder 3, and then marking folder 1 and 3 only, and leaving 2 behind, and then protecting those, and then renaming those. And so like Windows Explorer, so that will be able to do that. And this also leads me to the next topic, which is backing up not all folders, but some folders. There was a question that was listed on the list about trouble backing up files. And the answer to that question is that although it's possible to back up some folders, you cannot really mark folders at the moment and then back it up, because it will not accept the marked key characters. So I guess that answers the question on the list. And the whole thing about protecting folders, what that usually leads me to think in the conclusion is the importing of the subroutines that were placed on for files, which is object, to folder objects, so it can apply to folders as well, such as marking, erasing, moving, protecting, and deleting folders, individual folders, that is, and do it to groups of folders and subdirectories as well. That's what it really is, what I'm thinking of. Is that right, Nimer?
Yeah, there should be a thing where you like mark folders, and then you do a you go into a menu and then you back up, or you there's like a action menu like there's with the email, and then you go and back up. There's either a choice to back up, erase, or rename, or protect, or whatever you want to do, and it just does it to all the folders you have marked, a lot like the email.
That was what I was thinking, and it did came on, I believe, the second the burnout chat, where we could have a context kind of menu, control enter a space without 2.6, and might have options like new folder, and you can have options like new folder, copy folder, move, rename, delete, protect, translate, zip, and send to via Bluetooth, etc.
Now I like that idea. Then you have all your protection, your zipping, all that.
Your mention of send to made me think of something. Just want to get it out there before I forget. Right now, the Brainload doesn't support mail to links on the web. It gives you a syntax error. It seems like a pretty simple thing to be able to really revamp Keymail to support those links and other things as well, like message rules, sorting messages by thread. But to be able to click on one of those links and actually have it work would be really nice, because a lot of times people don't put their email address in the link. It's just click here to send an email, and that's not really helpful, because then you have to go into the actual code of the thing. And that's the other thing. You can't view source code right in the browser, which really annoys me. You have to save it, and then you have to switch to the word processor and open it before you can even see it. So if they had some sort of thing to just view the code of a page right there, and even better, just to show you the code, you know, the whole code, but your cursor automatically jumps to wherever you were on the web page. It just jumps to that section of the code. That'd be really helpful.
That would be fantastic. Mail mail to links would be really good to support, because, you know, there's one reason why people don't put their email address in, that's just spam, because the spam can't actually, well, I don't know, I mean, like, in the present day, it can't really, you know, get your email address from a mail to link. And for people who don't know what a mail to link is, I assume everyone knows here, but a mail to link is basically a link where you can click on and you can send an email. The code is in HTML, obviously. But yeah, that would be kind of nice. Really nice for mail to links, because like, you know, we don't want syntax errors. And yeah, I mean, like, because in Internet Explorer you can do Alt V S for source, just look at this code in Notepad, and that's the conversation and rule, group by thread and group by rule, message rule, sorry, are the only reason why I don't use my BrailleNet for email. That's one of the only reasons, because I can't manage. I'm on Blind Tech as well, guys. And, like, you know, I'm on loads of lists. I'm on Blind Geeks and on Blind Cool Tech. I'm on BrailleNote. You know, I'm on loads of lists. I'm on absolutely loads of lists. I just can't manage it just going straight to my inbox. It's just berserk. I mean, take a list, for example, Blind Tech. You get about 300 posts a day. And it's just impossible. But with rules, it goes to a designated folder. And then everything's in a collapsible, expandable conversation. You can view it nicely. Get rid of conversations that you don't want. Or you don't know the answer to, let me rather say. You know, it's just more effective.
I want to see some form of command prompt or some way to be able to access that with BrailleNote. My reasoning is I'm a programmer. Love to be able to write programs on that BrailleNote and compile them somehow. Even if it is just writing the source code, transferring them over, compiling onto, you know, compiling them in another device. You know, I got to save it as a, you know, different file extension or whatever. But yeah, I want to see some form of API or something to be able to program with.
Yeah, IKS API would be really great. I'd also really absolutely love to see a JVM. That's Java Virtual Machine. What Java code does, Java is a programming language, and it doesn't compile to an executable file that, you know, you double click it and install stuff. It compiles to what's called a class file. And that class file can be run on anything, Windows, Macintosh, any Linux, anything at all, as long as the computer you're running it on has a Java Virtual Machine. Because the JVM is actually what runs the program. But right now, I can't run any of the Java applications I write on the BrailleNote, which is incredibly frustrating, because they're all command line stuff right now anyway. I'm not even getting into any graphical user interface things that the BrailleNote couldn't do. So, I mean, I've written a lot of small programs that I'd be fine with just freely distributing to other BrailleNote users just for their general entertainment, you know, games and converters, stuff like that, in Java. But even a Keysoft SDK would be really helpful. And to your question about the command line, if you go to Utilities and then Application Program, select the Keysoft System Disk, select the Windows folder, and then select CMD, you can do simple things. You can search. You have to type /C and then the search, you know, I'm forgetting it now. DIR space dash S space file name dot extension. And then it won't show up on the Braille display or anything. You have to type greater output dot txt, and if it gets an error, you know, to greater error dot txt. And that'll put the error dot txt and output dot txt files in the none folder of the Keysoft system disk, the root of the KS disk. So you can do really simple things like that, but you can't do anything more complex, and you can't interact with, you can't type a command, it tells you something, you type a second one depending on what it says, because it outputs all to a file. So you sort of have a CMD there, but not too much of one. And as far as SDK, back in 2001, Humanware said the SDK was coming. In 2004, I emailed one of the tech support people who said they were working on an SDK, so I'm not really too optimistic anymore.
The only reason not the only reason, but one reason why they probably won't have an SDK is because people, like, will probably develop stuff like, I don't actually know, but, like, the majority of people will develop, like, fun applications, and I don't think they want, like, chat clients and games and I don't know what not. But I can see the benefits as, a, like, a student, like, you know, and even, like, as a business person, you can see the benefits of maybe developing a little application for your business, I guess. But, you know, you've got to persuade HW to do that. But I think that's their reasoning, you know, people are just going to start developing fun applets or games or whatever, like, and I think they just won't, I think they'll just say, you know, we don't have the time to do this. But that sounds weird, because you emailed them in 2001, and they came back to you in 2004. So, I don't know, I mean, if they, 3 years surely would have been enough for them to develop an SDK.
Also, it does increase the possibility of, having people writing viruses for the Braille Note.
Yeah, it does, but, I mean, how many viruses are there compared to... I mean, there's no... You can't get a virus on a Braille Note now, you just can't, it's impossible. It's just impossible. But in general, Pocket PCs are less prone to viruses. And how many people... you wouldn't really get a virus from the Braille Note. I mean, like, I don't think... I mean, you could, yeah, a couple of BN users could do that. But I don't really think so. It wouldn't be a big, big issue, but it does increase the possibility by maybe like 5% or something. But yeah, now, just for you guys that don't know, you just can't get viruses, it's impossible. But yeah, I mean, an SDK would be really cool.
Yeah, I'm also a Java programmer, so I'd like to see that JVM. As for viruses, I don't know who's going to start writing viruses specifically for the Braille Note, unless... The Braille Note got a large market share of Pocket PC products, and I don't foresee that happening. Unless you're a blind individual that wants to hurt somebody else, I don't really see how you're gonna. I don't see why anybody's gonna put a virus on a Braille Note. Besides, I could think of 10 times better ways to make better use of my time and hurting somebody instead of coming out with a virus for a Braille Note.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant. I mean, who's gonna even bother making a virus for the Braille Note? And you're right. I mean, it's not gonna hold a large share of the Pocket PC.
No, Alex left for some reasons. From what I've heard, some last time, whenever they he's back. Once they asked for what kind of programs they want to develop, and the programmers and people said they want to see games. So that's why the games are here, the interactive fiction games. There were some questions about support for Inform 7 on previous chats. I don't know more info about that. As for programming, I basically started learning about Java, and it seems that if some kind of a KeyJVM is installed, I think, KeyJVM extension, like, if there was like a KeyStart extension like version of JVM, then it can search for like available Java programs and run it. As to CMD, if you type /c /help /help.txt, it'll give you a list of commands that the Braille Note CMD supports. And by the way, the KeySoft is, according to Jonathan Sharp, he said KeySoft is written in C++.
I've tried the help thing. Sorry about that, guys. My wireless decided it needed to reset itself, so it kicks me off. Anyway, the help, a lot of the commands I haven't found to be actually supported. I shouldn't say a lot. Some of them aren't, like the time and date and stuff like that. Any system thing, basically, that it seems like you have to set manually doesn't work. But you can hide and unhide and protect and unprotect and stuff using the attrib command. Like, if you wanted to hide a file, you'd type /c /attrib /++ H space whatever your file path /filename.txt extension is, and it would hide the file. Same thing if you wanted to take off hidden attribute, you type -h instead of +h. So stuff like that, yeah, that does work, but not everything you see in that help file is going to be actually supported, especially if it requires interaction. As I said, nothing will come up on the Braille display or anything. You've got to work all through files. So if it requires you to type in more than one command after a prompt, it's not going to happen.
That's a big disadvantage. Derek, can you just put your speakers down? Yeah. That's a big disadvantage, simply because of the fact that, you know, you can't, I mean, if you're using, that's not going to be good, because you actually want to know what happens, but yeah, I mean, you can do output.txt, so that's quite cool.
Someone was saying before about, it would be cool to have, like, a JVM for the Braille Note.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of things you have to have, like, a Java access bridge, and even with JAWS, it has problems. I don't know if Braille Note would be able to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, even JAWS has problems with it. I mean, I've heard that NVDA kind of works with, like, some Java applets, which is kind of cool. But I was going to say that, do you guys know if there is a mobile version of Eloquence 6.1?
Eloquence what? If you mean, like, there's, like, more JAWS, yeah, there's, like, JAWS 9 and stuff like that, but I don't know about, like, the speech thing itself.
No, I meant the version of Eloquence. There's a version of the Eloquence speech synthesizer has a version, Eloquence 6.1, because the Braille Note has Eloquence as well, and we're using Eloquence 5.0, and the intonation is considerably different, and if we upgrade to CE6, maybe we could upgrade the Eloquence, maybe that, because it just sounds a bit better to me, and might have more stability. This is a question mainly for Joseph, probably.
Yes. For Nick and probably Ricky, JAWS 9 is talking about the JFW executable version, and you don't really want to be confused between a synthesizer and the screen reader. Screen reader is just the it's just an engine that converts the text so the synthesizer can understand it and speak it out. This speech synthesizer is the thing that speaks. We have Eloquence, there's an ELOQ.JLS. That's what the Eloquence engine is. It is version 6.1 on the JAWS version, probably after JAWS 5. And Braille Note has, I believe, the speech Eloquence that's derived from ScanSoft, which used to say around Eloquence 5. Which only had 5 voices.
Yeah, Eloquence, JAWS has a lot more voices, as well as a lot more, like, synthesizers. So, yeah, Eloquence 6.1 is a lot better, because the Eloquence on my Braille Note, besides, it sounds a lot like JAWS, but it pauses, like, it pauses in very strange places, like, it acts as though there's, like, a comma in a place where there's not, if you know what I mean. And it just, the speech is very, sometimes if you're typing very fast, it doesn't come through like you want it to. So, yeah, probably another Eloquence update or whatever. Because the main reason I don't use Eloquence on my Braille Note is because if you try to type with Eloquence, the typing is very slow. So you can make a mistake and not realize it, and that could be something, you know. So that's probably the only disadvantage of Eloquence with the Braille Note, so that's something they should definitely fix with KeySoft.
Yeah. Now, what I was going to say was, Eloquence does sound different. If you guys have ever used a Windowize demo, you've noticed that it runs ETI Eloquence, SAPI 4 version 5.0, before Eloquence was acquired by Nuance, formerly ScanSoft. And, basically, yeah, it has intonation problems. I'm not too concerned about the voices. The voices are fine for me. Stability would be a memory issue, but the intonation, maybe just, more more like intonation, more better like control of intonation, better speech would be better. Now, I just ran across yesterday an interesting anomaly. Now, I don't speak Spanish, but if you guys switch to a Spanish chip, and if you press the grade 1 command, that's backspace with dot 1, which is A, it will say cannot translate Spanish grade 1, there is no translator available. If you do the same for grade 2, that's dots 1, 2 with backspace, it will say cannot translate Spanish grade 2, there is no translator available. Now, have any of you come across this bug? Because it's really interesting. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know. I do French and German. I did want to come onto multilingual, but it's not a high priority issue. So, well, it is for me, but like you know, in this chat, it isn't.
I don't think that Spanish has different grades. And as for the problems of eloquence, I think the problems with you typing aren't necessarily problems with eloquence. I'm sure that some of them can be attributed to eloquence, but I'm certain that a lot of that's memory. For instance, when the Braille note was turned on, it was like 42% virtual memory or something like that. I'm pretty sure that has a lot to do with memory and a lot less to do with eloquence itself.
Right. And the plus the fact that it is using the rules that were set originally for Kinoko, so that might attribute it. If you have cursor, let's say cursor 9, you'll be able to easily recognize that it is the same voice that is used on the Braille note. And there is no grade 1 nor 2 under Spanish. It only uses computer Braille, which I happily used for learning Spanish as well.
There is a grade 1 standard for Spanish. It uses no punctuation, contractions. It has all the accents. Like a dots 4-6 means a capital sign. So there are differences like that. And that does exist. You know, there's a standard for it. But the Braille note doesn't support that. The only grade 1 I've heard it ever supports is German grade 1. None of the other languages will it have any other grade for except computer Braille. And for Spanish, anyway, even to enter accents, you have to go to 8-dot. So if you're used to 6-dot, it takes a while to get used to 8 because you can't type anything like an enter, you know, adjust your media volume, adjust your speech, or anything like that. You have to hit space with all that stuff. So that can take a lot of getting used to. And it's really frustrating, so.
Yeah, I take Spanish class. I'm not taking it right now, but I take Spanish class, and I don't think there's a grade 2 for Spanish because a lot of the signs take on our grade 2 signs. Like, for example, an A acute looks like an OF in our language, and an I acute looks a little like an ST sign. So I don't really think that there's such a thing as grade 2 for different languages.
Dennis has left the room, I guess.
Oren just left. Bob, welcome. We couldn't have a chance to introduce you. Sorry about that. Okay, he's back. The other one would be German grade 1.5, and oh yeah, I thought I distinctly heard that French has grade 1 or grade 2. I forgot about that.
Sorry guys, I got kicked out there. Which is not good. Très ennuyeux. French. French is a really weird one. French has grade 2, yeah, it does, Joseph. But French is really weird. I have a friend who's not, I don't know if he's still on the Braille note list, because he got a packmate called William Lomas. He was a bit of a ranter, but anyway. He exported his French stuff to DOC or RTF, and the accents were replaced by question marks. So let's just take a simple example like problème, which I hope everyone knows as problem. Problème would be PROBL question mark M, because E acute, the E accent there. Sorry, E grave, I think it is. Yeah, E grave. I'm a student as well, French student, but yeah. I can't remember. Yeah, it is E grave accent, yeah, it is E grave. I remember now. But basically, when you export it to another non-standard, the Braille translator is just appalling. Okay, Naima's left. But, yeah, the Braille translator is absolutely appalling. You know, I mean, it's just unacceptable in my opinion. I just tried a test on my German assignment paragraph. I exported it to doc. And it's just absolutely appalling because of this. I mean, it's not acceptable in my opinion because, like, you know, I might have to send an email. I might have to email something to my German teachers. Say my printer didn't work at school. Say that. Or say my printer didn't work. Then how on earth is my German teacher going to get it? Obviously, the obvious answer is I'll email it to him. But even when in their infinite wisdom, they haven't looked at the, I'm not saying a bit ranty here and bad, but, you know, haven't looked at the exportation of, keyword documents that are written in multiple languages into doc. So in German, it's just absolutely appalling, and in French, it's missing out, like, words and stuff like that. In German, it just missed out, like, a load of stuff. I'm doing two languages here. I'm doing two languages, la Francais und Deutsch, and, French and German. And, that's why I think that, you know,
it happened earlier, when it wasn't automatic multilingual.
Well, I just couldn't use it then, but that was different. Then I wasn't really a multilingual student anyway. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think for me it's very high priority. I mean, for a lot of you it won't be, but for me it really, really is, because I'm doing two languages. And, you know, I want to see Braille table creation, because I wanted to create a Turkish Braille table, because I'm Turkish as well, and I'm doing my Turkish GCSE, which is a general certificate of secondary education, basically what we have here in the UK. And, the Braille table creation would be kind of cool, because then I could create a Turkish Braille table with my accents, but I want it to print and emboss correctly. I mean, I could assign macros and make a custom USA Braille table, or custom UK, but it doesn't print, or doesn't do anything like that, which is really a disadvantage. And I'll end my rant here.
Well, you don't have to really stop the rant, because it is all about user stories and user feedback, which is one of my, the goals for this chat, was to, like, hear users' feedback and to get questions and answers. I think what's going on, I think Alex can correct me here, I think it is the word converter might be having issue with converting Unicode sign, which the, that the acute characters created, to ASCII. I think it might lose the Unicode characteristic of the E-acute and then translate it as question mark, which is an ASCII representation of unknown Unicode unknown characters, for instance.
Yeah, but then I actually thought that, I mean, kind of like, you know, ASCII, but still, I mean, you know, there must be a solution for this, because, like, I don't know, do any of you have a PDA, or have any of you tried using multilingual on a PDA from the competitor? I'm actually specifically referring to the Packmate here, but if any of you get a chance, just maybe for like 2 minutes, just to try and convert a dot, convert a BRF file into something on that, maybe, and see how that handles it. But have any of you tried multilingual on a competition PDA? That is just my question, really.
Well, I tried that on an old Braille Light 40, which had a, fortunately had an English and Spanish thing on it. Spanish. He's back, okay. And I didn't really specifically print it, but it worked. I don't know about Packmate. The best person to ask in this regard would be Vicky Collins, because she used Packmate before. And by the way, just a little bit of humor, William got kicked out of Packmate list.
Oh, he did? Yeah, he can get a bit kind of thingy, but, you know. Okay, but, you know, I mean, yeah, because he was telling me about something, but, yeah. But, you know, if a competition then can we do it, then we could certainly do it. Because I do think the Braille language support could be the best. If they worked on it, I'm saying this, I'm emphasizing this, it could be the best, because the Packmate doesn't have French Grade 2, which is one thing I really like about the Braille Note. It has French Grade 2, French Grade 1. The Pac-Mate has French Computer Braille, which is really annoying. But if the Braille Note, if Humanware really focused on language, especially Canada, if Humanware Canada and Humanware Canada and Humanware Europe, if they're really, really focused on language issues, I think the Braille Note could probably have the best multilingual support there ever is. It still does, like, in terms of, like, writing and stuff. But, like, all these anomalies really let it down.
Another language that they're working is the Korean version of Braille Note, which I talked about on the, I think it was the second or third Braille Note, first, second, or third Braille Note, I don't know, but not fourth one, though. I did ask some people the possibility of having a Korean multilingual, meaning we can, might have an English Braille code, but if someone is Korean, if someone is learning Korean, then one can use like a multilingual to enable Korean and type in Korean characters in there using Unicode, which is what I wanted to do. Having English Braille Note and going to Korean website and sending email and Korean documents in Korean language, which is my mother tongue, by the way. And hi, Mike, and welcome.
There is actually a Korean version of Braille Note. Oh, then I need to really investigate if there's a Turkish version of Braille Note, because I actually would want to try that. I actually call him aware about that, just to have a hands-on demo of a Turkish Braille Note, if there is such a thing, if there is. Basically, I don't know, that would be kind of hard, because, I mean, the main four, I mean, they have supported the main four languages, French, German, Italian, and Spanish. I don't know about you guys, but, like, languages like Arabic, I don't want it to be, I don't think it would be ever fully supported, but, like, because I'm actually seriously thinking of doing Arabic, but the characters are completely different, like, you know, there's no A, there isn't such a thing as A, and you guys, this is going to be probably top of your head, but, like, for languages like Arabic and maybe Hebrew, and I don't know, there might be other languages as well, that don't have non-standard characters, I wonder what it could do about them.
I don't know if there is a way to make languages such as Arabic, Hebrew, or Japanese, or Chinese to work on the Braille Note, just because there would be so many different characters, and if you're using, well, it doesn't matter if you're using a Braille or a QWERTY keyboard, it would be very hard, much harder, because it would have, like, for example, like 5,000 hieroglyphics or something like that, it would be impossible, basically.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm just thinking of a possibility.
Also, did they ever get the German 1.5 or the Ray 1.5 thing figured out?
Yeah, it works sometimes. It doesn't work sometimes.
Mike left. Oh, for separate reasons. Vicky, do you have any information on that? Oh, who just came?
I think he came back. Maybe some internet problem. Maybe he got kicked out. I got kicked out just a minute ago.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, folks, look. It has been 90 minutes since the chat started. It's 12:44 p.m. Pacific at the moment. Well, I guess the chat has been chat is extremely productive here. I didn't expect like up to like 8 people to join us. No, the record that I've seen was like 7 up to 8 at the moment. Mike, if you're here, would you mind introduce yourself? And the last thing before I take off the control key would be you can use Unicode to assign those hieroglyphic characters to the things, but I don't know whether there should be like a special code, special keyboard for the Arabic, but I can see the Unicode might open a door for it. And if the SDK is released, then we might have like multilingual packages for like different languages, like Korean, Arabic, even Turkish.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not. Derek, can you just turn the speakers on again? Yeah. I'm not saying that it's a must. It'd just be nice to see how that works. I mean, like, I'm not demanding. It's not high priority for me at all. Because if I really need to read Arabic, I could get an Arabic Jaws or something like that. If I really needed to read Turkish, I could get Turkish Jaws, which I promptly did install onto a thingy. But so you are saying there's an actual Korean version. You can actually get a Korean version, like a full Korean Braille Note. Because if I can get a full Turkish Braille Note, That would be kind of interesting. Because... but yeah.
Yes, there is. And the company, the current company that distributes it, told me that it is using a Korean version of Windows CE. And, in regard to the other PDAs and word convert, Vicky, do you have any words on that? Because Vicky used PacMate before, she knows what I'm talking about.
Actually, no, I don't. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but it's been 2 or 3 years since I've used the PacMate, and I didn't use the foreign language thing with that at the time.
Then I bet I might give him where I call. I might give him where I send him where an email, just asking various such things of Turkish Brown, not running Turkish Windows CE. Be interesting to play around with. That's all, really. I just want to play around with it. Not for any other purposes, just to have a play around. Maybe if I could have a hands-on demo or something.
Maybe you can become a beta tester for Turkish Brown Note, which is what I've done for Korean Brown Note. I was a beta tester, so.
Yeah, I think I've got Turkish Pack Mate. So, why wouldn't they have Turkish Brown Note? Yeah, that would be kind of cool. I don't know, but, like, I kind of want to... Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of multilingual, I want to do some beta testing, so... That would be quite cool, Joseph, because you're doing Korean. I mean, there isn't a lot of Turkish blind people, especially in, like, London or here, and, like, in England, but, like... I mean, there might be in other places, but, you know, that would be kind of cool for them, because I haven't actually seen a Turkish Brown Note, but if there is... I mean, that would be kind of cool.
Speaking of foreign languages, my college offers Russian classes, and I'm wondering how, if that would even be possible as far as Russian Braille. I've never taken any classes or anything in any sort of Cyrillic alphabet, so I'm not sure how that would work in Braille as far as the Braille note goes. I have no idea, but if anybody... you know, has any information, if you've ever worked with Braille Cyrillic or anything, or if there's a certain code for it, it'd be good. Also, good luck getting into beta testing. I've emailed them a few times about being a beta tester for the next Keysoft release, and I never even got an answer saying, absolutely not, we don't want you. You know, there was nothing at all. So, I'm really not sure how they select their beta people, but it seems like they probably their beta department doesn't seem all that big, because as I said, they never responded. And I've, except for Kevin Chow, I've never heard of anyone on the list actually being a beta tester for Keysoft. So
the only thing I know is Kevin Chow. You're right. And I heard that Joseph Lee did some form of multilingual Spanish beta testing, and so did Kevin. But apart from that, I haven't heard anyone else as well.
Actually, I was for 7.0.
And that was a beta test for Keysoft 7.5, the latter version after 20.0, alongside Kevin as well. So Alex, if you want to... Kevin told me that the human was probably using systematic sampling. In other words, they choose like every 10th user or like every 100th user, because they're using a different populations of many people from many backgrounds, like students, teachers, and business people, and others, and especially technology people. I think they want to select as many sample as possible, from newbies to advanced experts like Kevin and myself and possibly Alex and this. So it will really depends on HumanWare and how they choose in that case to like use systematic sampling to select a sample from a given population, which always occurs in the statistical inference, because the last thing that they want to see is the software working, which is a form of inference. So I think they want to select a very wide range of people from many backgrounds and stuff. So it really comes to the human versus discretion, I guess. Who just left?
Coming from a quadruple language, I mean quadruple in the sense that I do Turkish as my mother tongue and then English as my second mother tongue, let's say, and then French and then German. and coming from quite a techie standpoint, as myself, and coming from quite a student standpoint, I actually wouldn't mind being a beta tester. I don't know how to convey it in the best way. I can't beta test everything, but I can beta test what a student would like word processing, scheduling, languages. Like what a student would do in a class. Like that. Like, I wouldn't be, like, let me tell you this, I would be useless at being a web beta tester, because I don't really use the web on the Braille Note that much, as, you know, I mean, like, because I just have my PC and I just rely on that as a web, for webs, for web access. I mean, I can use my Braille Note as a web browser, but in terms of, like, beta testing, word processing, languages, stuff that apply to students, like tables, PowerPoint, like, if they were to implement them, I wouldn't actually mind being a beta tester for them, but I don't know the best way to contact them, because, like, I mean, like, that'd be kind of cool, because, like, I actually would want to test for them. I mean, like, you know, I really like my Braille Note. I mean, I guess everyone is, I mean, I really do think it's one of the most, like, productive, most efficient machines of all. There's a couple of really disturbing bugs, but apart from that, I really think it's a really good machine. Like, you know, if they just sort them out, and, like, you know, if they just put some new things in, I really think, yeah, if by 2010, yeah, if they can really push the Braille Note to its limits, I really do think it could be the best PDA. Now, it might not be the most highest specification ever, but it could be the best PDA, or note taker, or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I might have to contact HumanWare New Zealand for that, but, you know, because, like, it is true that, you know, at least in the UK, a lot of school students use a BN than a PacMate, and it's probably the same in America. So, from a student standpoint, I wouldn't mind beta testing.
In US, it's somewhat limited to the, it's somewhat like, there's a geometric, not geographic boundary. People who are near Florida, where FS is located, will tend to use PacMate more than Braille Note. So there's people on north towards the south. For people who are on the east coast and the southwest, since HumanWare is located around Concord, California, they would prefer to use Braille Note. For those who are up on north, and those who are around Illinois area, they would be tempted to use Braille Sense, because GDO Micro is located at Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is like a mid-state, like a Midwest. So it's mostly defined by geographic locations of the users. Well, it's 12:55 p.m. Pacific, so do you think we had enough time for today's chat?
Yeah, that should be okay. If you can just send me a copy now through Skype. That would be kind of cool, Joseph. And, of the recording, that's what I'm saying. But, yeah, I mean, like, in the UK, there really isn't much of a, like, you know, here is more note. I guess England is going to be more of a Braille Note as well. Although HumanWare moved to Canada, like, their marketing and stuff like that, you know, it was always in New Zealand. So it is going to be in New Zealand, probably, most of all. And, I mean, schools generally go for that now, Braille Notes for students. I mean, I know a college called Worcester College in the UK, NCW, and their students all use Braille Notes. They don't use PacMates or anything like that. Like, if they need a sort of technology compared to a Brailler, they all use Braille Notes. And, you know, from that standpoint, I wouldn't actually mind actually testing for HumanWare. In my spare time. That'd be kind of cool. But if you could tell me, like, maybe privately off the chat, or maybe even the chat, who I could contact regarding this, Joseph, that'd be quite nice of you.
Okay, for, like, a beta testing, I suggest that you contact, get emails for, like, persons like Daryl Sherwood, and probably you might want to contact people at tech support, or people who are in senior operations, if you email Brian Lingard, he'll be able to give you emails for like key senior people at Humorous. They will be able to respond to you directly instead of going through like technical support and asking like low profile people. I guess that might be the last comment. If you have more, then feel free. Anybody have like a last comment or like any other questions to throw out before we close for the chat today?
I don't, but I'll give it to Derek if he has a last comment. Do you have a last comment, Derek? Just before we close it.
A while ago, you were talking about upgrading to Eloquence 6.1. The Bronlet still does have the anti-seizure and other stuff. When if you're using Eloquence, the Bronlet totally crashes when it encounters one of the fools.
Yeah, I mean, in general, Eloquence 6.1, I mean, I don't know, Joseph, you probably use Windows. Have you used Windows with Eloquence? Because it just does sound different, like, you know. You can tell it's Eloquence 5.0, and it's SAPI 4 ETI Eloquence. But Eloquence 6.1 just sounds a lot better when reading passages. I mean, Eloquence 5.0, when reading a long book, crackles. Like, I was reading, for my English, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a public domain book. And Eloquence would crackle quite a bit, like it would pop. It wouldn't crackle, but it would pop. So yeah, I agree with Derek there. That'll be cool, because, like, you know, we could actually then use Eloquence 6.1. But I don't know if there's a mobile version of it, so, I mean, I don't know what Talks, or Mobile Speak, or even, to that matter, the KNFB reader is using.
Talks uses a variant of Eloquence, and Jonathan Mosen knows about more about that. Mobile Speak uses a variant of DeckTalk, and I have no idea for a KNFB reader. The thing about Eloquence is, you want to say pop, and then O. It always says that at O, at letter O, for some odd reason. I guess some people might have reported this, but if I need to, if anybody wants me to, I'll report it to a senior executive about that, in tech support. We have several cases. And we have several significant issues that were reported with this kind of popping noise and cracking and so forth like that. So I guess that might be the kind of comment for Derek, right?
It's just a Derek can just turn. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, Derek, your piece is really echoing. Can I just can you just turn down, please? Okay, you're a bit better now. I can read it.
Is that going now?
Yeah, that's better now. That's way better. Okay. What I was going to say was, it's not just a Brownlow issue. I would actually contact Nuance, because it happens in all variants of Eloquence. And you can run Eloquence on Mobile Speak, Joseph. Just I know it uses DeckTalk, but like you can run Eloquence on Mobile Speak. I just didn't know what it was running, because I've seen it being done. But yeah, it does crackle and does pop. But even in Jaws that happens. I mean, like, if you have your Eloquence...
In Jaws 9, it's...
Yeah.
Kind of like
I think it's just a general Eloquence issue. I mean, I have my Eloquence at 90%. Which might be really fast for some people, but I can understand it. And when I'm in the Outlook Express or anything like that, and I do tab, the B will crackle at that rate. You've got tab. So, like, if you were to type tab, and I know the Eloquence rate doesn't go as fast as the Jaws one on the Braille note, but, like, it can, with fast rates, Eloquence can crackle on a B. Because when you do shift tab, you'll go shift tab. And, like, you know, like, it can crackle on the B. So, just to let you guys know that, you know, fast rates can crackle on the B, I've noticed that. But yeah, I think it's more of a nuanced thing. Believe it or not, I've never seen DeckTalk crackle. I've never seen DeckTalk lock up. which is kind of cool, but, you know, obviously, it would be kind of berserk to run DeckTalk on a browner. I'd like it, but the new version of DeckTalk just sounds appalling. The 4.3 sounds pretty nice, but, you know, it wouldn't be good to have DeckTalk on a browner, I don't think so. I mean, it does have a small footprint, but I don't think it would be a good idea, myself.
Yeah, I guess, it's more just popular demand, and, I think in terms of that, crackling, I think if we report that to the senior executive, they will be able to take a look at it, and it's mostly towards a speech driver issue, so I guess that does it. So I guess that comes to the conclusion. My last comment is that if we could choose efficiency and mainstream integration, I would rather choose the one that will run in the long term. Also, which is in my thinking will be burnout. And the thing that mainstream integration lacks is that it needs to be updated periodically, which will confuse a lot of folks. But efficiency is that we can wait before a new opportunity arises. For example, like a new operating system is released, and if nobody offers it as assistive technology, then we could upgrade it to that. I think upgrade to Windows CE 6, I believe many people said this year is a good opportunity to stay ahead and to be the first device to support Windows Mobile 7 technology, which is Windows CE 6 will carry on. That would be my last comment, which summarizes the points that we've discussed today as to whether it's better to choose between efficiency or integration, and whether we should take advantage of the features that were presented to us on the browser or not, or whether we should limit ourselves to the feature that we have, or push the browser to its new limits, or unlimited potentials for the devices. I think that would be the theme for today's chat, would be opportunity and limitless for today. That's my last comment for us, for myself. So, any other last comments from Alex, Ricky, and Nick, others before I close this?
Yeah. That your piece is really echoing.
The problem is there. Sorry.
Okay. I agree with you about efficiency. I mean, I actually want more efficient. Really, bug fixes. If they could just put them out, you know, if they could just make really. Like a crazy build of Keystone 7.5 or something. Really, just bug fixes would be really cool, just for now. But yeah, I mean, we have to have the best of both worlds in a way. But efficiency comes first for me, then mainstream integration and additional features.
All I was gonna say was about the. No, go ahead.
Yes, go on, Mike.
All I was gonna say is about the weight. Someone said about how the Braille Note, about a lot of people in college are using the Braille Note. I was just going to say the Braille Note's light. I don't have too much experience with the Braille Note. I've used it a few times. For most of the time, I use a laptop. But I have tried out the Packmate. I just like the Braille Note because its weight is really light and you can just put it around your neck.
Oh, are you Mike Schmidt by any chance? I don't think so. Okay, Vicky, any last comments?
Actually, I agree with Mike as far as the Packmate goes. It is kind of heavy. I mean, it's not a bad machine, but it's heavy. And then, of course, with the Omni, I can appreciate what Jonathan trying to save costs and everything for people, and that's good. But it still does lack a lot of the newer connectivity features. Regarding the Eloquent we were talking about before, I think you're right, Joseph, as far as now the Eloquent on the mobile speak doesn't use it. I think it did on the earlier versions, but then got discontinued. Regarding the Braille Note, one of the one of the main things that people do like would be its efficiency, and of course they do want to maintain that. And I don't know what, because the last thing we, I guess, heard, one of the things we heard from Maurice was that what the next upgrade would concentrate more on the Microsoft Word issue, and that would be the main thrust of it. Now, of course, anything can change, and that may be changing, but who knows, but we may have to kind of be prepared that that's maybe where we'll go with the next upgrade. At least keep it in the back of our mind, although knowing it's subject to change.
Yeah, the Word issue would be kind of cool. I think the main reason for that being is that I think Kevin Chow said this on the Brownnote list. Windows CE 4.2 can't handle some of the format markers that are in Word documents, like tables. And speaking of tables, I want to see some table creation in the Brownnote for future. Because in school, it's kind of nice to lay out science results, statistical operations in mathematics and statistics, frequency tables, and all that good stuff. In a table, in an actual table. And speaking of math, guys, as well, for any of you that don't know, the Brownnote actually can do maths now if you use UEB. Now, UEB is pretty cool, and I finally got the permission of my teacher to use it in math, which is kind of cool. I'm just going to be using that. The only bug with UEB is, let's take the SH sign, that's 146, and if you have your keyboard echo turned on to everything, so that's both words and spelled, it will say 146, and that is an SH sign. Now, you can read up more about UEB, but some of the signs have been removed, like the two sign and the by sign. It's basically a unified English Braille code for people that don't know. But you can use that for math now. And the real handiness of it is it's more like a UK code than an MF code. So I'm kind of happy about the math, because like it's like plus is dots 5, dots 235. Now in the UK it was dots 56, dots 235, so it's virtually the same. In MF it's completely different. So I'm kind of happy, because like math has really opened up on the Brownnote. But table creation and the format indicators of the Word documents, I think CE6 will be able to do the format indicators. Table creation, I don't know. And math, I just wanted to say that it is possible now.
Any other last comments from like Alex and Nick?
Yes, I agree with the efficiency over mainstream stuff, because mainstream, you know, you use JAWS on a computer, that's mainstream, and you run into a lot of things that don't work as well. And the PacMate is basically, you have the things that might not work with JAWS, you have all those problems magnified because they won't work with Braille either, and that's your entire device. But with a BrailleNote, anything you install is guaranteed to work, because anything you install has been written by HumanWare or, you know, Sendero. So it's obviously going to work. And it's much more intuitive, it's a lot easier to use, with a minimum of keystrokes and a minimum of looking around, so to speak, you know, scanning through menus to figure out which one you want to do. There are a few improvements that could be made, like universalizing keystrokes. You know, in the email action menu, the email action menu is space dots 26, yet in the database manager, space dot 26, which you would think would bring up some sort of menu, actually inserts a field. So kind of weird stuff like that. But overall, it's much better. It's more intuitive than even Windows or any other standardized operating system. So I really prefer it to any other. Then again, I haven't tried the voice since, and I really love to, because right now it seems like a better alternative almost, because of its better power, its increased connectivity, its smaller size, and you can get a Braille display for it, but for my experience, the BrailleNote definitely beats everything else.
Yeah, the BrailleNote does. And when I first got my BrailleNote, I wasn't a very Windows techie at the time. I mean, I did know Windows, but like, you know, it took me less time to learn the BrailleNote. It took me like 2 weeks to learn the BrailleNote. It took me like, at the time, I wasn't very Windows oriented. I mean, like, I was, but like, you know, I wasn't the most technical of people at the time. And that was like 5-6 years ago. And, you know, I just learn it really quickly than Windows. It is really more intuitive than Windows. It is really, in my opinion, it is for newbies, for beginners, it's the best in terms of in help and stuff like that. I really do think so. I mean, like, the command structure is so logical. I mean, when I was reading the PacMate manual, some of the commands they had in there, I didn't like them, like especially for the BX model. Like, I just didn't like them. And like the QX is okay, but like for the BX, let's just say as an example, I didn't like some of the command structure. But I think the Braille Note, in terms of efficient, in terms of like intuitiveness and like command structure, I think they've got it right. And yeah, like more universalized commands would be kind of cool, like email action and stuff like that would be really kind of good, because like, you know, you know I want to see more, like I want to see I think I can't remember exactly, but I mean in the email, couldn't we have like a command like backspace with enter with space with a four layered command with R to reply or something, or backspace with enter with, or backspace with space with R to reply to all or whatever, or sorry I should rephrase that, backspace of enter with R to reply to all, and backspace of space with R to reply. And that would be kind of a cool command to use. Especially like on the Braille Note list or any other mailings. We just haven't got time to go for the email action menu and go reply. And
the instant reply option? I don't know. Or the other thing would be that one might have pressed accidentally for it. Besides, backspace enter R is assigned to review voice. I don't know on that regard to that. Nicholas, any last ones?
Sorry. What was that backspace enter with R assigned to, Joseph? I'm having a memory. Sorry, backspace space with R. What I said was backspace with space with R, and backspace with enter with space with R. I know backspace enter is R is designed to
review voice.
Review voice. That's it. Thank you, Derek. Backspace with space with enter with R, so four layered command, or backspace with space with R. Now that might be a bit complicated, but it could work.
Problem. In A.Computer Braille, you have to press space with anything. So if you wanted to switch to review voice, you'd have to press space with enter with R. But anyway, the whole idea of minimizing all the prompts you have to go through would be kind of nice. I emailed a list a few weeks ago, a few days ago, about being able to send emails from inside your, inside the email you're writing. You know, instead of, there's one email in the outbox, and now, instead of all this stuff, just exit, send email now, yes or no. If you say no, you get the normal options, but if yes, you just connect and it's done. And that's it. And I like your idea of all the of email shortcuts, and for other things too, it'd be nice. You know, forward, reply. There's a shortcut for trash, so why not other ones? But okay, I'll stop talking now so we can all get on.
Oh yeah, I agree with you about that email thing. Just to say that.
Okay. Nick, any of your last thoughts? We're about. Okay, one last thing before I hand the mic over to Nick, especially for Orhan, the exchange stuff can be done after it's over. Well, sorry for enforcing this rule, but I had to because it's nearly 1:15 and it's been gone for about 2 hours, so, well, not counting the blanks though. So, Nick, last words. Okay, at this time, would you pause pressing control key, especially for Orhan, so Nick can comment on this?
Yeah, I think with all the stuff that's been talked about, I think the Braille Note should probably, efficiency is probably should come first, even though, because there is a way where you can ask your school teachers, hey, you know, this PowerPoint thing is going to be kind of hard, or this Excel thing, you know, we could, I think, you know, before we put in all that stuff, just put in, like, more, like, with, like, what Alex was saying with the email, instead of, you know, sending multiple email at once, you can send whichever one you, because there's sometimes, there could be a case where you just don't want to send an email, and you're like, oh crap, I have to put this in the draft, and instead you end up sending it, and stuff starts happening that you really don't like, but I think some of the things with before we start putting in key, like PowerPoint and all them things, I think we should update more on what we have now, other than putting in so much, because there's a way you can get around PowerPoint. You could do PowerPoints on the computer if you had to, but you know, that's kind of what I have to say on the subject.
Okay, I got it. Which was the point of all this? Let's discuss what we really want, and then we can. That's what that priority really means. That's what the human really meant. And I guess that concludes today's. Sorry for cutting it short, because it's well past 2 hours, and I really don't want to waste others' time. So I decided to skip lunch today and decided to eat noodles instead. Well, I can take care of that. So, once again, I'd like to thank everyone for joining me and others on the chat today. Hope you enjoyed it. And as usual, a summary will be compiled and will be sent to the BrailleNote list. In addition to that, for those who are on the BTT list, it will be sent to Blind Teen Talk as well, so everyone there can take a look at it and see what happened in the chat. So to give you a brief summary of what we discussed consequences of upgrading to Windows CE 6, hardware suggestions like inputting micro SD cards, bigger PK shell, and a new BrailleNote, and foreign language issues, and word conversion, password protection, and folder management, and PowerPoint, mail to links, the better universal shortcuts, and others. So the chat summary will be written and it will be sent immediately after this chat for the benefit of the list members. So once again, I thank you for joining us for the chat, and I began planning the sixth one to take place around summer this year, so we can have more people joining us. Until then, for those who are listening to this recording, it is time to say goodbye to recording. You can still hang around here, although I won't be participating directly though. So thanks everyone for joining us for today's chat. You can hang around here freely if you want to.
So can you just, just